Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weigh In Sports Talk. Today is Wednesday, July 24th. Before we get started, here are a few reminders. We would love to hear from you, and here are several ways to weigh in. Call us at 646-716-5564, or join us in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/Tarvino, or follow us on Twitter at Weigh In Sports. Now, here's your host, Brian Tarvin, and co-host, Trey Patterson. Let's weigh in.
Thank you, Michelle, and welcome everyone to a live edition of Weigh In Sports Talk. Wednesday is one of our best shows, actually. We enjoy it, but we want to start off by saying special thanks again to Coach Vince Dooley. He came on for an interview that we aired Sunday night. Very appreciative to him and taking the time. We have a lot to discuss tonight, and we're going to try to do it tonight in an hour and a half, possibly 2 hours, depending on how quick we can go. And, of course, we're going to probably start out talking. I'm going to bring Trey on in just a second, give him his introduction. We're going to talk about Ryan Braun and Major League Baseball. And we really want to hear from the fans on this one to hear your opinions on if the suspension was too harsh or maybe too easy. And, really, did anyone learn anything from this? So we really want to hear the listeners tonight and see what they have to say. And I'm going to give the call-in number 646-716-5564. Remember to press number 1 when you call in so we'll know you want to talk. And we're going to talk a little A-Rod tonight. And then college football, we're going to break down the team I'm high on, the Northwestern Wildcats and the Florida Gators. So we have a big show in store tonight. So thanks, everyone, for joining us. We're going to rock and roll tonight, and we will take as many callers as we can get. So without any further delay...
I eat breakfast 300 yards from 4,000 Cubans who are trained to kill me, so don't think for one second that you can come down here, flash a badge, and make me nervous.
What's up, Trey?
What's happening, brother?
Oh, ready to get into some sports talk. Hope your week's been good. And I guess we're going to start off by talking about Ryan Braun. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think with all that's going on this week, I mean, Ryan Braun and this story just, one of those sports stories that, I mean, you can't believe it went down the way it did.
Well, actually, you know, I can in a way, but, you know, a lot of people out there, we have Facebook, we have a message board, and I showed my displeasure with Ryan Braun. And I could tell, Trey, when he got caught the first time and it was a technicality, that I really think in his interview I could tell he did it. And the problem I have, guys, and Trey, you tell me what you think. I'm going to tell you first. I have a problem. If Ryan Braun would have just said, no, I didn't do it, and was done with it, never said another word, I wouldn't think so bad of him. But the way he got up there, dancing around, talking about how much integrity he has and he would never do that, that's the part that bothered me. And the fact that he's throwing people under the bus, trying to get them fired, Trey, that's another thought. I think Ryan Braun is done with his fans and the media and everybody in general.
Well, I mean, you got to think, I mean, if you're going to just come out and deny it, let the process work itself out. And if you win in the process, I mean, fantastic. I mean, that's what the process, that's what the system is set up for. But when he came out and he said that he would bet his life that he didn't do it, that, you know, there's no way that this could have entered his system, that he was betting his life on it. And then he came on this, you know, sort of, and I think Curt Schilling said it best on ESPN when he said, it reminds you a lot of Lance Armstrong. It reminds you of the way that he went after folks knowing that they had done nothing wrong in an effort to clear his name rather than just a simple denial. So had Braun denied it and then got caught, I think we all would at least understood, okay, you denied it because, you know, you're not going to come out and admit to it. That's fine. A lot of guys are not getting caught. So you could probably see why a guy would do that. But then to disgrace the collector, who is not a baseball guy, and really go after him and his family by, you know, looking after his welfare and saying this guy shouldn't be in work and attacking his credibility and his integrity, and it turns out he was lying the whole time, and it's just the vilification of everyone who said that he was guilty is what disgusted me the most, Tarvin.
Yeah, me too. And did you hear Rick Sutcliffe? He's works with ESPN. I think he's an analyst now. He's an old pitcher. Brian Braun lied straight to his face in an interview, one-on-one. Just, you know, I promise you, nothing ever entered my body. And that's the problem, guys. Look, I don't mind the guy using steroids. A lot of people are doing it. But the problem I have with it is the way he handled himself. It just, I don't care what he does from here on out, Trey. In my eyes, he's a piece of garbage. I mean, I'm not a judge or anything, but if you can sit there and lie and try to take away the credibility of a man that's just trying to make a few bucks to feed his family, I've got a big problem with you. And here's the deal, Trey, Major League Baseball, what did they – I mean, 60 games, 65 game suspension? I mean, is that a slap on the wrist or what? The team sucks. They're not going to the playoffs. And I'm getting a lot of background noise, Trey. Can you check your phone, please?
Yeah, I don't think it's me, Tarvin. Yeah, and maybe on the blog talk tonight.
Okay. Well, but Trey, the problem I have though, man, is he goes out and lies bold-faced to people one-on-one interviews too, not just on the air with everybody hearing it. He's out telling lies, and he even had Aaron Rodgers, you know, singing his praises, betting his paycheck, Trey, on his football for the Green Bay Packers that Ryan Braun was innocent. So I guess he's a good con man. What do you think?
Well, I guess a couple things that you asked me there. The first is was this a light punishment? And the answer is a fortunate timing of the punishment for Ryan Braun. So he did the best he could to come clean when the evidence was overwhelming. I mean, they had text messages between him and these guys down there in Florida. I mean, this was the evidence, from what I'm told, it was pretty overwhelming that Ryan Braun was basically getting injected. So he had a choice to make, which was it was going to become very public very quickly that he, you know, all the evidence. And so he struck a deal. He struck a plea deal. So in his case, it's a great deal because the Brewers are out of contention for the rest of the season. He's got a bum thumb, and he actually makes more money next year. So if you're looking at it from Ryan Braun's perspective, it's the perfect time to take the suspension. But, you know, Tarvin, is it light? No, it's not light, and here's why. Because Major League Baseball, under the collective bargaining agreement, basically can give a guy 50 games after one time. Because he admitted it and because he actually negotiated it, they were able to give him 15 more games than the CBA allows. So this, you know, is basically a shot across the bow for the rest of these guys that it also helps Major League Baseball now because this whole investigation has a ton of credibility because you have Ryan Braun, you know, really, to be honest, I mean, the biggest player involved because, I mean, he's the MVP in 2011 during this whole scandal. It just went down. And he went down with an admission. So now we have some evidence from the player himself, but these allegations have some a lot of legitimacy, Tarvin.
Well, the reason I think, Trey, that it's a light punishment is, A, you know, the Milwaukee Brewers suck, and this is a vacation for Ryan Braun. I mean, his credibility, he'll never get back. So let's face it, everything he's done up to this point is to getting that big contract. I believe, looking at his statistics, his entire career almost, he has been on steroids. And I really believe that. And now that he's quit, you see what he's done actually this year. But Trey, there's nothing to deter anyone out there that's for a first-time offender, I'm going to get 50 games, big deal. Guess what? I'm getting a $200 million contract, and there's nothing you can do about it. So Ryan Braun's going to lose 3% of his contract because of this suspension. At the end of the day, he's still rich. He's still very well off, and he's going to be cashing checks for a long time. So, Trey, my question to you, what is Major League Baseball going to do to deter this? This is not a deterrence, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, you got to look at. I mean, you can't point the finger at Major League Baseball right now. You can point it earlier in the '90s when the league seemingly knew about this stuff and let it go. But right now, baseball is actually doing as much as they can do under the law and under the collective bargaining agreement. So now it's to the players, Tarvin, and now it's to these players who stand up and they say, you know, and some of the players have been very vocal in interviews this week saying that, you know, Ryan Braun is a disgrace. They're all mad at him. Well, put your money where your mouth is, players. Change the collective and bargaining agreement to up these penalties. make it a penalty where a guy can't sign a contract the next year. You know, there's a limit on his contract if he's tested positive for steroids going into the offseason for free agency, a la Nelson Cruz next year. I mean, he's going to get punished in all this, and he's a free agent next year. So, you know, Melky Cabrera, he took his 50 games, and he signed a good contract with the Toronto Blue Jays. Unless you're going to allow Major League Baseball, through the players' union, to take some more leeway with this, I don't think you can say Major League Baseball isn't doing enough, because the players have so much power under the CBA, they're able to take advantage of this.
Well, Trey, when are you going to start seeing this put in contracts of players that says, hey, Ryan Braun, here's your, say, $200 million contract. If during this contract that you're – during this time that we catch you doing steroids – now, if you did it before, that's one thing, Trey. You can't go back. But during, say, 5 years, if you are caught using steroids, you're kicked out of baseball. I mean, they should kick them out of baseball and then take the money away. That's how you deter something. It's not taking 3% away from somebody and giving them a vacation. If Ron Braun's probably sitting back right now with his feet up drinking a cold one with his buddy Aaron Rodgers at the restaurant they own, do you think he really cares that he suspended 65 games? If I'm a player out there trying to get that big contract, I'm not stopping because of this. Now, if you tell me I'll never play baseball again if I get caught, then I'll think about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think if baseball could do that under the collective bargaining agreement, I don't think they're, first of all, they're never going to be able to take money away that they've already paid them, unless the CBA allows for some, you know, fines to teams or something like that. I mean, the big thing I've heard out there is allowing the team to void contracts, because there's a sure amount that the Yankees would love to get rid of with A-Rod when his suspension is coming, but they can't void the contract. It's not in the collective bargaining agreement. They can't do it under contract law. They can't do it under labor agreement law. So the problem with this is, Tarvin, is until they can change those agreements, and I think the biggest thing has to be allowing teams to void contracts. You void a contract and the guy is not getting paid and doesn't have that check next year, and now it's coming off, you know, at a time where he doesn't know, and maybe in teams, maybe penalize them. I mean, you can do that too. You sign a player who's coming off a suspension, you know, you automatically get, you know, fine or whatever it is. So, I mean, you can deter the teams too, but it's got to be written in the new agreement.
That's a great point. I mean, I agree totally with you. I really do. But the one deterrent, Trey, is you get caught using steroids, bye-bye. You know, I mean, maybe not for life. We're going to suspend you 3 years, and if you can come back in 3 years and play again, great, if some team will have you. There has to be a deterrence. If not, people's going to still do it because, you know what, the reward is worth – I mean, the risk is worth the reward. They're getting paid millions and millions and millions of dollars, Trey, and it's worth it to take a chance if you get caught. And again, they're ahead of the curve. These guys are playing and then 2 or 3 years later getting caught when Major League Baseball catches up with it. But it's going to continue to grow because these players are going to get ahead. But think about it, Trey. How many lives did Ryan Braun affect? I mean, you saw a Dodgers, Kemp didn't get the MVP, which I still think you don't take away an MVP from somebody, or if you do, you still leave it empty. And then I think, you know, the pitchers, maybe with contracts or bonuses in their contracts, if you get 20 wins, maybe, you know, you get more money, and maybe they didn't get the 20th win because Ryan Braun was juiced up on roids hitting the ball so well. And who was that team they beat in the playoffs, Trey, in 2011 when he was juiced up, when they were real hot?
The Diamondbacks.
Yeah. I mean, see, you've hurt a lot of people in this process. And that's why he didn't just hurt himself or his team. He hurt others.
Well, you know, and the interesting question, you're talking about banning from baseball. And I've heard A-Rod speculation because they think he's tampered with evidence that there may be a lifetime ban coming. But the problem with A-Rod, and I know we're getting off on here, Tarvin, but the problem with A-Rod and any kind of lifetime bans is if you do that to the next guy, it bothers me that Sosa, McGuire, Bonds, you know, Ken Caminiti, Rafael Palmeiro, that the entire steroid age, that these all these other guys are eligible for the Hall of Fame, and now you're going to start banning guys from baseball. The baseball has to sort of graduate, first of all, get players off of it. But there's always this huge stain on the entire era of the 90s and the 2000s. And unless you're going to ban them all, Parvin, and say no one's eligible for the Hall of Fame if you test positive for steroids, maybe that's what you do, but you got to have a blanket rule because you can't have some of these guys getting in and the rest of the guys not able to do that.
Exactly. And the Trey, I mean, just looking at it, again, you're trying to coddle these players, these cheaters. You're trying to make them get into the Hall of Fame, you know, and that's what I don't agree with. Who cares? If you're banned, you're banned. You can't go back in time and erase what Mark McGwire then did, but you can learn from it. You can make the rules. These players are going to have to learn to look at history like we do so we don't, you know, we don't repeat it. I'm so against that. It's coddling them, and who cares? They shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame if they're proven cheaters. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I mean, what I'm saying, Tarvin, is you got to have a blanket rule. I mean, you got to have Bonds, you got to have McGwire, you got to have Sosa, you got to have all of them ineligible. You got to say, okay, you know, you have gotten something from steroids, then you're done. You tested positive, you've got a conviction, you got something, and you're not going to be in the Hall of Fame. And so I'm all for having a blanket rule, but, I mean, I just don't like applying it to one guy and then another. They're all cheaters.
Yeah, I mean, I see your point too, but I'm just so tired of seeing these guys cheat to get what they want. There's no deterrence for it. But speaking about A-Rod, though, Trey, I mean, have you ever seen a team like, please, God, please suspend A-Rod right now so we can hopefully, you know, recoup some of this money? A-Rod's doing everything he can, Trey, to get back in the game. So
yeah.
It's funny. He's even going to a doctor for a second opinion when that's out of, you know, that breaks his contract in a way. Tell me your thoughts on A-Rod going, you know, bending the rules a little bit to do this. Did he act too soon, you think?
Well, I mean, now we got a whole issue of whether or not he went outside the collective bargaining agreement. The thing about A-Rod is he has managed to piss off baseball fans, the Yankees, the players' union, because now they're saying that he may have violated the collective bargaining agreement by getting a second opinion. And Major League Baseball all together. So, you know, it's weird, Tarvin, because I've never seen a player who's alienated every single avenue that he may have. And the thing is A-Rod had an avenue to actually go in the collective bargaining agreement and get a second opinion. It's actually in the collective bargaining agreement if a guy thinks, you know, the team's sort of pining him over a fake injury. But he didn't do it, and that's kind of why the players' union's all mad now, because they built this in and he didn't do it. So A-Rod is going to have a rough go of it. He's already had the whole steroid thing once. Now we're looking at number two. So, and if he's tampered, I mean, you may see something really heavy from A-Rod. I'm not so convinced, based on the one story, that it's going to be lifetime. But I'd be willing to bet, Tarvin, because I think A-Rod's going to probably come to some sort of agreement, too, and take a deal.
Yeah, A-Rod's gone for life, Trey. I think once this all comes out, I mean, there's a reason why he's not playing right now in this grade A injury or hamstring injury. It's really getting old right now, and I'm seeing it. I think I just cut out. I think I feel like I just cut out just for a second, Trey. I apologize. But tell me about A-Rod in your opinion. Do you think he deserves a ban from baseball if guilty again, which is coming, but 100 games, what is that going to do, really?
Well, I mean, for the guy who's 37, I mean, any ban that's almost like that. Here's the thing. The collective bargaining agreement, you know, you keep going back to it, and it's fine to argue hypotheticals, but you got to kind of understand the rules, understand what some options. And I think why it's so important for baseball to put A-Rod in a position where he has to come clean is then they can actually say, you know, ban him for an entire season, ban him for 180 games, 165, whatever they can do. Because at that point, I mean, he can't even come back, Trevor. You're talking about a guy who has over 2,700 hits. I mean, he's legitimately close within a couple of seasons of getting 3,000 hits. And if Major League Baseball can keep him off that list, I mean, that's really what I think some of this is coming down to, is they want to keep him off that. They want to get him to where he can't play baseball anymore. And so a year ban for A-Rod at 37 years old, it's pretty much a lifetime ban. I mean, you think he's going to be able to play at 40, Tarvin? I don't.
No, I mean, he can't play now.
Exactly.
I mean, look, if he was good, the Yankees would bring him back. Even though they were going to lose some money, possibly, they want to win. He's so bad right now, they don't even want him in the lineup. And it's coming very shortly. I think the Yankees have some pull with Major League Baseball maybe to say, look, guys, you have him on this list. What are you waiting on? I mean, I don't know what Major League Baseball is waiting on Trey, but maybe they're waiting for Brian Braun to get all of this attention negativity in the media and then bring A-Rod. What do you think the delay is? I mean, they have everything they need.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. The baseball has never said their whole goal was they were going to wait until they have all their ducks in a row, and then they were going to bring all the names together. I mean, they weren't going to nickel and dime it, like, you know, but Braun came forward. Braun took the deal. And I think from baseball's perspective, and they're not ready, Tarvin. They're still gathering stuff, especially on A-Rod where they think they have witness tampering.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see what everybody hears. Let me give the call-in number real quick, 646-716-5564. Again, 646-716-5564. So let me remind everyone in the chat room for the trolls out there that come through, any profanity used or trolling will be, you'll be banned from the board, but you'll also be reported to Block Talk Radio. And just because you have a guest number doesn't mean your IP can't be tracked. So guys, come on, let's be good here in the chat room and let's just have fun. So everybody get along and have fun tonight. Trey just dropped for a second, but back to A-Rod, guys. Look, A-Rod, I mean, has admitted to doing it. Then he comes back to cheating again, and then he's doing it again and again. He knows at his age that there's no way he can do this clean. And look at David Ortiz. He's another example. Do you think he's not juicing right now? You're crazy. But he's next on that list too. But the reward's too much. I mean, if these guys get caught, guess what? They made millions of more dollars, and they got to play a few more years. So it's worth it. There's no deterrence in baseball. Until the fines start getting heavier, the penalties, these guys are going to continue to do it. And I'm not a cheater, but if I was in a situation to where somebody equal talent with me was taking steroids to get more money, I would have to be tempted as well to do it if I was going to get ahead of them or stay even with them. Because you would be surprised. People say that there's only a small percentage that actually takes steroids. I really don't believe that. I think there's more than people think. And I'm just waiting on Trey to call back in. I don't know what happened with him, but anyway, A-Rod and Ryan Braun, those two deserve. I think Ryan Braun deserves to be gone just because the way he tried to damage character of people and the way he lied about it. But I want to hear people's thoughts on Aaron Rodgers on Twitter backing up Ryan Braun, saying he bet a guy on Twitter, and I know it probably doesn't mean anything, and Trey's a lawyer, he can tell us that if Trey, since it's in writing, and Ryan Braun, or Aaron Rodgers said he would bet his entire paycheck this upcoming year if Ryan Braun was guilty. What do you think? Is he legally, does he have to pay that if the guy pushes it?
No. I know that he had this little deal with the flight nurse. Turbine. I'm sorry about my phone. I don't know what happened to me. I think I was just talking away, and I don't know, I lost you guys. But he's not contractually obligated. I mean, if he's a man, he should probably step up, Tarvin, and give this guy, you know, some money to his charity of his choice. And because, I mean, he makes bets all the time on Twitter, and it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, but here's the deal. Aaron Rodgers is so close. You know, they own a business together with Braun. Any chance, Trey, that Aaron Rodgers was defending Braun because he's doing it too?
I think Aaron Rodgers is like anything else. You defend your boys. And Sonia brought up a good point in the chat room about bets, about his old bet with Boys to Men and wearing a 49ers jersey. Rodgers doesn't put his money where his mouth is. I mean, I think he's protecting his boy. I think that's what it comes down to is, you know, Aaron Rodgers is the guy who is sticking up for his best friend. I don't look into conspiracies that he may be juicing or whatever, but it's certainly it would be refreshing if Aaron Rodgers were to come clean and say, hey, I was totally wrong. You know, here's 10 grand going to this dude's charity.
Yeah, hey, Aaron Rodgers is a joke. I mean, to come out and put your name on the line and your reputation out for a guy like this. Look, if you're friends with somebody close, Trey, you and I are friends and you're juicing, I know it because I've seen you play before, dude. I would know if you were hitting home runs or something wrong, man. I'd know you was taking steroids.
Well, Tarvin, I mean, you know, they play different sports, but, you know, it's kind of interesting. I saw – the same day that this whole Braun thing came out, I mean, Von Miller, his suspension for four games is pending now. You know, I mean, so it's just different how football seems to look at this a little differently for PEDs, and baseball does, because, I mean, you know, the Von Miller fans are all saying, you know, we want him back, and, you know, this is a travesty, we hope he wins his appeal, or, you know, baseball, and Mikolas springs it up for drugs, and I understand that, but the point is if a guy gets suspended for even PEDs, where it has been in the NFL, it's looked at differently, Tarvin, and I wonder why that is.
What was that about why that's less in the NFL?
No, like why does the NFL look at PEDs? No, I said why does the NFL look at PEDs differently than MLB? I mean, or any other sport. I mean, MLB looks at it totally different. I mean, the NFL is only 4 games for a PED violation.
Well, I think to me, and this is just my opinion, and it could be wrong, you could disagree, but I think that football is such a violent game that guys have to do something just to be able to play more than a couple of years. I mean, look at the beating these guys take. I mean, if I was playing the NFL, I'd be juicing, Trey. Guarantee you, every day that I was alive in the NFL, I would be juicing just to make sure I stayed healthy and collected that money. If not, you're going to get killed. Could you imagine not doing the roids and getting hit by these guys that are 250 pounds of solid muscle that are taking that? You'll get killed, man.
Yeah, but why is it okay for football is what I'm saying.
Because of that reason, the survival of the fittest, really. I mean, they take it. I don't even think they test much for it. I mean, these guys test more for cocaine, marijuana, and stuff than they do steroids. But I think now that it's happening more in Major League Baseball, and now you have the concussion issue that's going on, people, lawsuits and everything, Trey, I think they're going to start actually having to test more for it and give some stiffer penalties. But 4 games is nothing.
Yeah, I mean, and right now in the NFL, I mean, you know, human growth hormone isn't even something they're worried about. So, yeah, you got to give baseball credit. I mean, baseball is definitely coming down harder than the other sports.
I think Trey's gone again. But, I mean, look, 65 games, Trey, is not a lot. And, I mean, it's a third of the season, just like the NFL, what is it, 25% of the season maybe. So I think if you look at the NFL compared to that, 4 games and they play, 16? I think it's close, you know, 25% compared to, 30%, somewhere along those lines.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
All right, good. Are you having any issues? Or Block Talk Radio could be tonight. I think we're going in and out. So if you're in the chat room right now, let me know if you hear us okay. We don't want to be talking here without you guys hearing us. We wouldn't want to rob you, you know, of all this knowledge. Okay, Paul said we sound good. And Von Miller, Trey, he got suspended for the Broncos for 4 games. Do you think that's really going to affect the Broncos season?
Oh, I mean, it's possible. But, you know, Von Miller, again, says he's done nothing wrong. But to even get to this point in the NFL, you usually have to have 3 positives, Tarvin. So, you know, he's done something wrong.
He said today he did not smoke marijuana. He came out and he said it. You know, he didn't do it. So he's denying, too. So, I don't know. I guess he sees what Ron Braun, he didn't learn from Ron Braun over here. Look, America is a forgiving country, guys. And that's what you don't get, Trey. You did something wrong, admit to it, and change it, and people are going to love you. They're going to forgive you for it. I just don't get why people don't understand that.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, for Von Miller's sake, I mean, you know, but at least he's not going after other people, though, Tarvin. I mean, that's, at least he's got that going for him.
Exactly. And I don't know if you got to see any of the Big Ten media days, Trey, or did you hear Urban Meyer today at all? Or was it yesterday?
You know,
which one was?
I'll be honest, I don't usually pay attention much to the Big Ten media days.
Well, I do know Urban Meyer said that he's going to actually, you know, get tougher on his suspensions and his team and all of that. Are you buying that, or do you think he's feeling the heat from everything that's going on in his past, actually, and now?
Well, I mean, he suspended his starting running back, I mean, for
beating a woman.
I think the charges were dropped. I mean, so, you know, the allegation may have been untrue. And apparently there was some videotape or something that actually backed up the kid's story. So, you know, he's still off the team right now. So, you know, maybe something to it, Tarman, maybe.
Well, if you're Urban, do you let him back on? I mean, well, if you find out that he's innocent.
Oh, I think you have to.
Yeah, I mean, but here's the deal. Why kick him off so fast without the evidence? And that's what I'm saying. I think he's feeling the heat from the Hernandez, the way the media is kind of blaming him for Aaron Hernandez. But you can't blame Urban Meyer for Aaron Hernandez. But I think he's feeling the heat and the pressure that he's known as the coach that lets things go. And even Muschamp said some cracks about that, about Urban Meyer.
Well, yeah. I mean, but, you know, I mean, Urban Meyer may be changing a little bit to get a little tougher. I mean, he needs to be. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, programs need to be tougher nowadays to sort of, you know, sort of, I guess, stop the tide of all these arrests and all this off-the-field trouble.
Yeah. Well, speaking of trouble, Belichick finally spoke on Aaron Hernandez. Don't know if you got to hear that or read about his comments and everything, but he said exactly what I thought he would say, really. He was filling condolences to the family and to the young man that died, Trey. So it just looks like to me that Brady and Belichick are just washing their hands clean of this and just moving on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's what they have to do. But, I mean, they had how many months to get their story straight and get their press releases in order? I mean, so to me, it was less of a story because they're talking about months later. I know it's his first public statement, but, I mean, he didn't say a whole lot, Carmen.
There's a lot going on. But I think our chat room, Trey, is ready to talk some college football. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I am too, Carmen.
You are, man. All this steroid talk don't get you pumped up, make you want to, you know, go inject yourself and get back in Major League Baseball or something. I'm 36, and I might try out for the Braves next year. With all the injuries they have, you know, get some HGH, I'll be right on my way.
Be right on par.
Oh, yeah. I have a Barry Bonds head. Looks like a picnic basket walking around and coming into camp. So here we go, guys. College football, Trey, we are, you know, we're so close right now. I can't even believe we're discussing anything but NFL or college right now. But we had to venture off a little bit. This is a good topic. But tonight we're going to preview two teams, one from the Big Ten and one from the SEC. And it's going to be fun because we're going to start out in the Big Ten, Trey. With Northwestern, it's a team last year that went 9-3. And Cuervo, I think he likes Northwestern too. He's from Chicago. He might call in on this one. Anybody want to call in? 646-716-5564. Trey, this is a team that went 9-3 last year. And if you look at their losses, you know, the October 6th game at Penn State, they lost by 11 on the road. Penn State was better than advertised last year. They choked against Nebraska at home and lost 28-29 late, and then they ended up losing to Michigan late in the game. I think that game went into overtime, if I'm not mistaken, 38-31. So beat Mississippi State by 14 points in the bowl game, Trey. A very successful season for Northwestern, and guess what? They're returning 15 starters.
Yeah, I mean, Northwestern's got a lot going for them, for sure. I know they're very high on the Tarvin watch list this year.
That's not saying much.
But, you know, they are a very – I mean, yeah, look at them. This is a team that was 6-7 in 2011, and they really have shown a lot of improvement. I mean, in a year, they jumped from an under 500 team to, as you said, a team that won, you know, 9 or 10 games, I think, last year. I mean, I think when you said 9, I think it may have been 10 with the bowl
victory. 10. You're right.
Yeah, so, you know, and they're actually – playing a lot of teams very well as of last year with all the returning starters. But what you got to wonder about Northwestern is they're not going to sneak up on anybody this year, Tarvin.
Oh, they're definitely not. And you know, not sneaking up on people is good, you know, in a way, because look at Northwestern's roster. I mean, it's full. If you look at the quarterback, you know, Kane Coulter's a senior. That's great. Your running back, a senior. Van Eric Marks, a senior. Your receivers are junior and senior. Your line's upperclassmen almost, most of them. Going back to the defense, the same thing, Trey. So looking at this team, man, you're returning people that has been through those 6-win seasons, 5-win seasons, and now starting to taste success. I really like the way this team, the direction this team's heading in the Big Ten, man. Coach Fitzgerald's a great man, a great coach. And, Trey, looking at their schedule, it's not too easy. I mean, they do play some very tough games, but I do think, you know, with the right coaching, the right quarterback play, I really like them, man. It's a two-quarterback system, and it works, and I think it's going to give Big Ten defenses some trouble.
Well, I mean, I think offensively, you know, you got to like the fact that they did return eight starters and even seven on defense. But, you know, one of the things about Northwestern, Tarvin, is this is their year. I mean, I'm not sure they have the talent to reload next year. I mean, this is a team that's building based on senior, you know, senior development. So this is kind of their year. This is their year, I think, to make the Rose Bowl, you know, win the Big Ten possibly. I mean, this is where all the expectations are. But that with those expectations comes a lot of people getting ready for you and bringing their A game each week. So let's start off, Tarvin. Let's start off with that August 31st game. They're facing Cal, who was 3-9 last year. They're going to be on the road in California. So what do you think about Cal's chances?
Well, I mean, it is a tough road game. I mean, anytime you go all the way across the country. But remember, this is a team that went, what was it, 3-9 last year, a terrible, terrible season for Cal, Trey. I mean, they have three offensive starters back on that team and six defensive starters. I really, even though it's a road game, I like Northwestern coaching, just coaching along to get this win. I think he's going to have them ready. I think Cal's going to have a lot of trouble stopping Northwestern throwing and running the football. And I don't think Northwestern's defense is that bad. I don't think Cal's offense is going to pose too much of a threat, even though it's on the road. I like Northwestern to get this season off on the right track with a big win on the road.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, Cal is just so far from rebuilding. I mean, new coach, all kind of new stuff going on in Cal. They still haven't figured out where they're going yet. So I just think Cal not going to be there. This is going to be a win for Northwestern for sure.
Yep, that's a good one. 1-0 start. If you're in the chat room, you want to give us your predictions, go ahead. We'll read as many as we can go. 646-716-5564 if you'd like to call in. So, Trey, take us on down the road.
Well, the next game they have is kind of interesting. I mean, Syracuse, ACC now. They went 8-5 last year where they lost their quarterback. Last year, this was a game at the Carrier Dome, and it was a shootout. This was a 42-41 Northwestern victory. So we're looking at a little payback here, but it is, luckily, in Evanston. So, Tarvin, I'm looking at this game, and you know, I'm looking at Ryan Field. I just don't think the Orange, with a new quarterback, are going to be able to get their revenge. I think it's going to be another close game, but I think the offensive scheme of Northwestern wins out.
Oh, definitely. You said it perfect. A new quarterback coming on the road to Northwestern. Syracuse is going to be, you know, a 5-17, probably a 6-6 if lucky. Not enough to go on the road and beat Northwestern. I agree with you.
So that gets them 2-0. I think the next one's easy. They're playing a 4-8 Western Michigan team at home. This is not a good team. They may not even be 4-8 this year. They may actually regress. So Western Michigan is going to be a win going into their bye week in October, Tarvin.
Not so fast, my friend. No, I'm just kidding. You're right.
Yeah, so they get some 3-0, Tarvin. They get a bye week, and ho-hum, Tarvin, ho-hum. Guess who comes to Evanston after the bye week?
Not Maine. Don't tell me Maine.
No, it's actually Maine before the bye week. I was kind of skipping Maine. You know, I didn't make much of Maine. They're going to be 4-0. Sorry, I forgot Maine. But the open date, Tarvin, 4-0, Ohio State comes to town.
Man, this is perfect. I mean, you have a bye week. The only thing that concerns me, Trey, is you know how the media is going to be on Northwestern here. If they're undefeated, they're 4-0 going into a bye week. You know Ohio State will probably be undefeated. How much of the press is Northwestern going to be listening to, Trey, during that 2 weeks? That's a long time. They're going to be ready to play. I like the upset in this game. I think Northwestern at home, I think Fitzgerald's going to have these guys ready. They're going to pull off a shocker early in this season, and they're going to give Ohio State its first loss.
Oh, wow. You know, one of the things you got to look at in this game is, you know, you look at, you know, both Ohio State, you know, last year, and you look at Northwestern last year, and you kind of give, you know, Ohio State's coming off last year's undefeated season, and they're supposed to be, you know, the team that challenges Alabama this year. Well, it's going to be an early season and basically not much of a test for the Buckeyes. They face, you know, Buffalo, San Diego State, California, the Florida A&M Rattlers. But the week before, they actually have Wisconsin at home. And so, Tarvin, you know, here's what I'm thinking. They may get beat up a little bit by Wisconsin, the three-time Big Ten champion in a row. So I agree with you. I think Northwestern is going to slip by and sneak up on Ohio State and take out a victory.
Oh, that's a huge prediction for the weigh-in sports staff here, Trey, to pick Northwestern, both of us, over Ohio State. Wow, and guys, this is not rehearsed. We don't rehearse this before the show, so I'm shocked to hear you say that, Trey, but I'm glad you're on board with me. I'm not the only one in the world that thinks this.
Well, you know, to me, it's the Wisconsin game, looking at that. I think Whiskey, they're not going to be as good, but I think that game is going to be physical. I think it's going to be tough for Ohio State, and I think it's going to be something they have to actually prepare for. So, you know, if they just had Buffalo, San Diego State, and Cal, and then Florida A&M, you know, that would be a cake schedule leading up to really almost the entire season preparing for Northwestern. But they got to prepare for that game in Columbus, you know, the week before. So I think that's why you're going to see Northwestern a little bit more prepared for Ohio State. So that's why I'm picking the upset.
Okay. Well, let's see how we fare for the rest of them, see if we're on the same page.
Well, the next game for Northwestern is at Whiskey. They're going to go to Camp Randall. So, Parvin, I mean, you're right after the Ohio State, we both have them winning. 7 days later, can they pull off a win up at Wisconsin?
Trey, I think Wisconsin's going to pull the upset in this game. Not really an upset, but Northwestern, emotional win, having the bye week. They beat an Ohio State team. They're thinking very high of themselves. Fitzgerald does the best he can, but Wisconsin, they're still going to pound the ball on you. They're going to run the football. They're going to beat Northwestern up, which is going to be beat up from the previous week. I like Wisconsin, Trey, to take care of business, and the Big Ten starting to get crazy.
Man, yeah, I hate doing this, but I'm actually going to agree. Wisconsin, they're returning 16 starters and 9 on offense. So I think this is going to be a bit of a score fest, but I think that it's Wisconsin's going to run down that defense and really wear them down by the end of the game. I think they're going to win a close, lower-scoring game than we saw the week before with Ohio State. So, yeah, I have them losing this game.
Yeah, that's a good pick, man. We're right on the same page tonight. And, you know, the next week, the Angry Gopher comes to Northwestern, Trey. And you know, this is a dangerous game for Northwestern because they're emotionally spent right here. This could be big trouble for them after having a big win against Ohio State, losing. I think they're on upset alert. That's what I'm going to tell you right now, Trey.
So are you just calling the alert, Tarvin, or are you calling the upset?
I'm calling the upset in this game. I think Minnesota upsets them in this game just because of the timing of it. And so that's two losses in a row for Northwestern, and then we're going to see if they can rebound the rest of this season.
Wow, I'm going to say not so fast, Tarvin. I think Minnesota, they kept it close last year, the 21-13 game. That was in Minnesota. I think in Evanston, the Northwestern handles their business against a team they should beat.
Yeah, I'm just feeling it, man. I'm feeling usually when teams struggle, it's in a couple of games in a row. I think they're going to lose these two, and they're going to come bounce back because guess what? Anytime you're struggling and you can play Iowa, Trey, it's a good thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're going to beat Iowa.
Yep. So that ends a two-game skid, and November looks pretty tough for these guys. I mean, November 2nd, Trey, at Nebraska.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and call this one, Tarvin. I got them losing in Memorial Stadium and given their second loss. I think Nebraska is going to be tough at home this year. Taylor Martinez is a different quarterback at home, and I just don't see them taking out Nebraska in the middle of Lincoln in November.
Who did I pick last week in this? I know I picked this game. I think I picked Northwestern, right? Against Nebraska? I'm trying to remember. Yeah. Remember when we broke down Nebraska? Yeah, we did.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, we did. I don't remember who you picked in our room.
Well, God, I'm going to pick. See, that's why I hate doing this. I forgot who I picked. But November, they won that one game against Iowa. I don't see them going on the road right here in Nebraska in November winning. I'm going to go with Nebraska in this one.
And, Tarvin, I think we got a caller who's wanting to weigh in.
Let me bring him on right quick. All right, you're on Weigh In Sports, Jason. What's up?
Tarvin, I'm telling you, don't discount my Gophers. Here's the thing. Okay, Northwestern brings back everyone, but guess what? My Gophers do too. And they're a lot better this year. They're going to win this game. I'm telling you. They're going to surprise a lot of teams this year. We're going to lose to who we're supposed to lose. But Northwestern isn't one of those that we're supposed to lose. And for some reason, we always play Northwestern well. Even, you know, when they suck, they suck. When they're good, they're good. But we always play them up to that level. That's why last year was close. And Northwestern had a good team last year. So, and then the other thing, too, is the thing with Northwestern, they don't have back-to-back good seasons. I mean, Jonathan pointed out that they had, I think it was 95 and 96 or 94 and 95, but that's it. So, I don't know. I'm going to go with history. But I'm telling you, my Gophers are going to win that game.
I'm with you, Jason, and I just have a figure. Go ahead, Trey. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Let me come right back.
I was just going to say, Jason, you know, one of the problems I have with Minnesota in the game, and you're right, they do play Northwestern well, is, yeah, you have a lot of starters coming back on offense where you got 10, but you got 6 on defense. And, you know, I mean, Northwestern's an offense that can really come at you. I mean, they run that little spread offense, and they can really throw the ball around. So, Jason, I guess, are you thinking this is going to be a close game, or are you thinking that you guys are going to pull away with it?
Close, but here's the difference, though, and this is, I'm comparing Northwestern's defense to ours. We're bigger. Northwestern's, someone made the analogy in the SEC about Northwestern's players. Their defensive linemen are like our secondary. They're small. The one thing that Minnesota has is big defensive players. And the other thing, too, and this is what's going to make us good this year, all 5 offensive linemen are returners and veterans. It's a gelled team. They know how to work together. It's going to be a very, very tight offensive line. And you got Kirkwood. And I expect Kirkwood to rush for over 1,000 yards this year. That kid is a beast. So, call me crazy, but Northwestern is one of those games that Minnesota should win.
I wonder what the point spread is going to be on that game, Trey. When you look at it, it's on the road. It's in Northwestern. Give me a point spread early on.
I think the point spread is probably going to be about 6.
Yeah, see, I think it's going to be more like 4 or 5. I mean, I don't think it's going to be 6. It's going to be close. But then again, too, I mean, you're talking a game that's, you know, almost into midseason, so a lot can change from the beginning of to the midseason. So I said in the chat room, you guys might change your mind once we get to game time. So we'll come back to this topic, you know, that Saturday when that game happens, because I just got a good feeling about this.
Hey, Jason, I picked the Gophers to win this game.
Yeah, I mean, call me crazy. You know, I'm like you, Tarvin. At the beginning of the year, I'm calling it. And prove me wrong. But I love my
Gophers. Man, I know you do, man. And thanks for calling in and joining us about the Gophers. Trey brings up some great points, and Jason usually don't just talk to talk. I mean, he'll pick the Gophers to lose when he knows they're going to lose. So you want to change your pick now, because Jason knows the Big Ten.
No, man, I'm sticking with what I believe.
All right. So we went to Nebraska. We both picked Nebraska in that one. Interesting game here, Trey, November 16th, another bye week. They get to host Michigan, so tell me your thoughts.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest. I think Michigan, is going to be good this year. But I Jason just said I should keep going on. He's giving me some hate on that game, but hey, I think to be honest, Northwestern loses this game too, Tarvin. I think this is these are the type of games that a team like Northwestern hasn't historically won, and so I needed to see how they're going to play in these big games. But I think Michigan is going to win some games like this year, and I think Northwestern loses to Michigan, even though it's after an open date.
I like Northwestern in this game, Trey. I like them at home. I like them to win. The one thing this year, they're a team to watch out for. They're on my radar. They could win any game they want to win, but I think they'll slip up and lose some games too. But I like them beating some of these big teams. I like Michigan coming in, maybe overlooking them a little bit after losing to Nebraska. But all of a sudden, Northwestern's throwing a wrench into these Big Ten, you know, championship hopes for some people. So I like Northwestern. I'm going against you.
Yeah, so I got them with three losses here, Tarvin. I'll tell you, I got them running the last two games against Michigan State, and then on the road against Illini. So I got them at 9-3, Tarvin.
I think I have them at 10-2. Who do I know? Hold on, 9-3. I have them losing Nebraska, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. 9-3 with a bowl win. I mean, that's another 10-win season. You have to hang your hat on that if you're Northwestern at Fitzgerald. A very successful season, a very dangerous team, Trey, in the Big Ten.
Yeah, you know, Miklos has got him in the chat room going at 10-2. So, you know, we're real close with each other. He says they lose to Wisconsin and Nebraska, but you and I got him at 9-3. I got that Michigan as a loss as well. So, you know, me and Jonathan are on the same page. So they got a Michigan lock in there too. So, Jason says 6 wins max. So, a little rivalry going on there.
Wow. That's an interesting pick, but I like Northwestern. I've been promoting them all year, and I'm not going to stop. Well, Trey, we're going to take a little break real quick and go to commercial. And when we come back, just a quick update that we just learned about in baseball. We'll be right back.
Have you ever seen a picture on the internet and just think to yourself, I'd love to have that on a shirt, or maybe you'd like your company logo on a shirt? Well, Actionwear Screen Printing is the place for you. We'll print whatever design you want on any surface you desire. Just give us the idea and we'll make it happen. For more information, message us on Facebook or call Tony Williams at 817-891-6819. Actionwear, where your design comes to life.
And we are back. We just broke down the Northwestern Wildcats college football season, and Trey and I have 9-3. Not bad for Northwestern. And, Trey, are you going to go ahead and say 10 wins with a bowl?
Well, I mean, we got to see which bowl they go to. I mean, until they play, I'm not going to predict a bowl win at this point.
I know. I'm not either, because you know what? If they're 9-3, they're probably playing the SEC team. That's going to be tough. So we'll see. But interesting news I just heard, just looked in the chat room, that Tim Hudson, what did he break his ankle and he's out for the year?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like he got a pretty nasty injury. Probably done for the year. It's really unfortunate for the Braves. It was really unfortunate for a great guy in Tim Hudson.
Well, tell us about the Braves. I mean, they have a good lead in the East right now, and you know, possibly I don't think the division second place will get a wild card actually in the National League. But how is this going to affect them going forward? Do you think they have a young arm that could come up and take his place?
Well, I mean, they do have – Paul brought a good point out that, you know, Beachy's coming back. But, I mean, the thing is Hutt's not only a great, you know, rotation sort of stopper. I mean, the guy throws innings. But he also is a really good leader in that clubhouse. So, I mean, it's going to be a tough injury to get over because, I mean, Hudson, he kind of anchors that young staff.
Yeah, but here's the deal. He can still coach and mentor and get those young pitchers up and coach while he's hurt. At least he'll still be around the team, hopefully, and be able to coach and just have his leadership around. People will play better. But that's a huge loss for the Braves. I mean, Hudson's not a strikeout pitcher right now. He's older, but he knows how to get batters out and keep his team in the game. That's hard when it comes to this time of the year, Trey. When it gets, you know, in September, it's going to be tough not having him in that lineup.
Well, that's a big loss, man. I don't know if it's a big enough loss to keep him out of the postseason, but it's a big loss. I mean, Hudson, he's been a stopper for them when they've gotten in trouble with, you know, losing streaks. Hudson seems to be the guy that gives them the innings to stop those kind of streaks. So big loss for the Braves if he is indeed out for the year.
Wow, that's not good. But if any team can rebound from it, I mean, they can do it. I mean, they have a good farm system, and you never know who's going to be there to take their place to step up. Somebody has to step up. And if this team's supposed to make the playoffs, then somebody has to step up. So we'll see. It's going to be an interesting run for the Atlanta Braves, and we'll keep following this and see how they do. But Trey, let's move back to college football real quick, and we're going to the SEC now. This should be interesting because we have some Gators fans out there. You're a Florida State fan. Miklos is a Florida State fan, and we have some Florida haters in there as well. So tell us about the Gators. Tell us what you think.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the Gators, a little disappointing offseason after getting blasted by Louisville last year. But ultimately, it was a very, very successful year. I mean, 11-win season. You know, a lot of people thought that, you know, they were so down in the Sugar Bowl because they really had the possible one of the best teams in the country. And they could have easily been playing, you know, had they not had a critical loss to Georgia. In that SEC championship game. So, I mean, the Florida Gators looked really good last year, and really is going to come down to whether Driscoll can get them over, you know, that 10 wins. I mean, this is a team that could easily win 10 or more. But can they get themselves in the national spotlight for that national championship again?
But, Trey, we say that, you know, and if you look at and we're going to bring Paul Ewing on. He's going to talk about the Gators with us. He's a big Gators fan. But, Trey, everybody's up on Florida this year, and all they did was, you know, now they're returning 3 starters on defense and 5 on a terrible offense. And I'm just concerned watching the Louisville game last year, Trey. Was it the fact that they were overlooking Louisville and didn't care? Was it the fact that they just got their butt hurt? And I'm telling you, man, losing that many starters and losing a game like that at the end of the year, it just the confidence level maybe not there. I don't know, man. It's going to be tough. I mean, it's so bad that Driscoll's signing to play baseball right now because I think he knows he can't be a major league player or an NFL player.
Well, I'm not going to be an NFL player, but whether he can win a national championship, I mean, is a different story. I mean, there's a lot of players who win national championships who aren't great NFL players. So, I mean, really, it's going to really come down to, and I think they have 5 returning starters on defense, not 3, but you know, I think it's going to come down to whether Driscoll can actually take them to the next level because their defense is not going to be as a big, huge, you know, sort of that Gator D they had last year. They're going to be just they're going to have a lot of talent coming in, Tarvin, but I'm not sure that some of that talent is going to be equal to. And they certainly are a very, very, very good team when it comes to reloading. But are these guys that are reloading with on defense, are they going to be as good as that Florida defense was last year? Because if they're even a little bit back from where they were last year on defense, man, that's a lot of pressure on Driscoll to score more points.
Yeah. Well, Paul, I'm going to bring you on. How many defensive players are returning? Was I wrong when I said 3?
You talking to me?
Yeah.
We have 6 on offense and 5 on defense this year.
Okay, well, I don't know why I was thinking 3, but just looking at Florida, from what you see or what you hear or read, what is the mindset of the team right now after losing to Louisville starting this year? Do these guys think they can win a national championship?
To be honest with you, I don't think national championships running through the locker room right now. From everything that I've read and people I've talked to, they were very upset with what happened in the Louisville game. Not many excuses, just a bunch of heads down on the ground. I've got a few people that live in Gainesville and actually one guy that works at a local gym that they visit every now and then and pretty much no excuses, just talking about this season. Really no one even really brought up the Louisville game.
Yeah, and we're going to go through the schedule and we're going to get your predictions on each game as well. Trey, we're going to start off, you know, week 1, August 31st. Toledo rolls into town. Give us your thoughts on that game.
Well, I mean, Toledo, not a bad team, 9-4 last year. But, you know, here's my problem with Florida looking at it, and Paul, tell me if I'm wrong, but Florida seemed to be a team last year that played to their competition, whether that was, you know, they played really well at Florida State and Doak Campbell, but they struggled against Jacksonville State, you know, the raging Cajuns from Louisiana. They barely beat Missouri. And this was a team last year that played about just to equal to their competition. And when a team does that, they're not going to be in a national championship contention, because the team has to go out there and they have to put people away. Because there's too many teams in the SEC that are improving, and that's scary when you're talking about the SEC. Are they going to get past Toledo? Yes. But what I'm looking at is that at-Miami game. So that's my concern when you're talking about Florida playing up to their competition or playing down to them.
That is very true. I've had to suffer through that. And I don't know if y'all remember or not, but this Toledo game, it could very well be tied or 10-7 Toledo at halftime.
Right.
But, yeah, I do expect us to get past the Toledo game. 1-0.
Yeah, Trey brought up a good point, though. You know, like the games, like last year, the Bowling Green game, my God, that was a scare. And I remember sitting in the Georgia Dome getting ready for Auburn and Clemson, watching them almost, you know, choke away that game. And if you look at Jacksonville State last year, they struggled at times. So what are they going to do this year, Paul, in your opinion, to get past that mentality of overlooking these teams? Because one day they're going to jump up and get bit.
Well, in my opinion, watching the team last year, and I don't know if y'all picked up on it, but when a team relies solely on a defense to keep them in a game, I mean, you just can't keep leaving your defense out on the field and letting teams pick up third and fours, third and sevens, when you have an offense that's struggling so hard. I mean, when you rely on your defense to do everything, you're going to be in battles all 12 games every year. So, you know, like Trey said earlier, the biggest question for me with this football team going through the schedule will be, does Jeff Driscoll pick it up? Does he step up and take over the offense?
Yeah, so we all three have them 1-0 right here, guys. And Trey, you talked about it, September 7th at Miami. This used to be a rivalry in a way, but does Miami have enough, in your opinion, to beat the Gators in Miami?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. This game is super scary if you're Florida. And, you know, it may not seem that way. You had a 7-5 hurricane program that's looking at possible NCAA violations. The off season has been nothing but off-the-field concerns. But this team is actually pretty talented, and actually, a lot of people in the ACC expect them to be in the ACC championship game. So Miami is an improving team, and this is at home. They're going to be up for this game because this is an early season sort of way that the Hurricanes can get themselves back on the national spotlight. So there's going to be a lot of at least coaching when it comes to getting them up for this game. But Tarvin, that all said, I just don't think Miami is there yet. And I think they're going to be really close. I think this game's going to be very competitive. And if they can force Jeff Driscoll into making some very dumb turnovers, because, I mean, Miami will have played the Florida Atlantic Owls before this game, then they have a shot in this game if they can force Driscoll into some turnovers, because, they're pretty talented on offense, Miami is, with running back, receiver, and quarterback. So I see them keeping up with Florida until the very late going.
Paul, I look at Miami, and it is scary that, you know, one game Miami is going to play well this year and give it all they have is Florida. I mean, they would like nothing better than to beat the SEC Eastern Conference champs right here, runner-up, my bad, and get the state back. Miami used to dominate the state of Florida, and with a senior quarterback coming back, I believe Stephen Morse is coming back. Paul, give us your prediction on this game. Are you as scared as we are?
Well, I'll put it this way. I don't know if y'all realize it or not, but this is going to be a 12 o'clock Eastern time kickoff in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, 10 returning starters on offense, 10 on defense. Duke Johnson, the running back, scares me. And I hate to do this, but I'm giving my boys a loss here.
Ooh!
I think the early kickoff, we struggle mightily with early kickoff, and I think the weather and just, I don't know if Driscoll's ready for a challenge like that early on in the year, so if already, it's just I think too many starters are back, and the early kickoff, and like you said, Miami has had this circled, because this was a home and home. The last time we played them, Tim Tebow was on the team, so they've been ready for this. This might actually be a game that they'll sell out. So, yeah, I've got Florida going 1-1 in this game.
Well, Trey, I have to agree with Paul in this game. I have Miami pulling the upset off. This team's going to be hungry this year. I mean, this could be, you know, the probation could be coming out. You never know what's going to come. But I think the Hurricanes get it done early in the season right now. I think Florida struggles to score points on the road against a Hurricane team that's very talented, Trey. I'm with Paul, 1-1.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not there. I mean, I hate to give Florida props. But I'm not so secure this is actually going to be a sellout. Miami's been having problems with that. I mean, if there are seats available and they're going to Florida fans, I'm not sure how much the home field advantage is going to help Miami. You know, Miami's got a quarterback coming back, and so they're going to be, like, I think, less likely to turn the ball over. But I just think that Florida and that defense are going to put pressure. They're going to get to the quarterback. They're going to be able to stop the run. And in the fourth quarter, I think, Florida and Driscoll find a way, but I would not be surprised if Miami pulled the upset.
Also, I'm not sure if, and this is also one of the games that Morrison may be sitting out. I don't know if Muschamp's going to revoke his suspension or not, but losing our middle linebacker for this game would hurt as well with Duke Johnson.
Right, yeah. That's a good point, Paul.
I don't think Muschamp's going to revoke it. I think the guy's always, after getting arrested before, so I'm going to say he's going to be suspended, and that takes us to a bye week, guys. Florida's 1-1, and Paul and I's opinion 2-0 with Trey. But Tennessee comes to the swamp, Trey. I mean, this Tennessee team, we don't know what to expect. We do know they'll be well-coached and hungry to get a win here in the swamp. How does Florida rebound after this game?
Well, I think, you know, they're going to have an off date. Tennessee is an improving squad, but they're not there yet, Tarvin. I mean, I picked this in Tennessee. I'm going to stay consistent that Tennessee loses in the swamp.
Yeah, I agree. Paul?
Yeah, W for the Gators. It might be close for a little bit, but I think we'll pull away at the end.
And here's an interesting game, September 28th at Kentucky, Trey. Stoops, the coach there now. Any chance Florida, you know, just chokes and doesn't show up that day? I think Florida wins big against Kentucky. I think they blow them off the field. What are your thoughts, Trey?
Well, I mean, this was a 38-0 game last year, but I'll tell you, the way I look at this, I'll look at this game as very similar to the Missouri game last year, where Florida, if they are struggling at this part in the year, say they do lose to Miami, like you said, if you look at the Georgia after they lost to Georgia last year, and you look at, you know, Missouri and the Louisiana game, and Florida was barely showing up. So if this is a team that has that kind of motivation issues, and now they're on the road for the first time after they lost, if they did indeed lose at Miami again, then this could be close. I mean, I think Florida wins it because I have them 4-0. But I mean, they seem to play down to folks, Harvin.
Paul, give us your chance of Florida, you know, choking in this one. I think because it's an SEC team, I don't think they look past them right now, especially with Stoops.
No, I mean, I'm going to go with the win here because, we've had a few good games with Kentucky, but I think at this point in the season, I think that our running back, Matt Jones, will have stepped up and the offensive line would have set with the new JUCOs, and I think this will be a victory.
All right. Well, we're out of September now, guys. I have them, 3-1? Paul has them 3-1. Trey has them 4-0. October, you know, not too bad. I mean, they start off October 5th at home against Arkansas, Trey, unless that officiating crew's there that tried to cheat the Razorbacks last time. I don't think this is going to be a close game at all.
No, I don't either. I don't even know what to make of Arkansas yet. I mean, I know Bielema is there, and this is, you know, the same coach who won the Big Ten 3 times in a row. But until I really get to see Arkansas on the field and get to see how much improvement they're going to have from last year, I'm not going to pick them to win a big game. So I got Florida beating Arkansas.
Paul?
Same here, Brian.
All right. A man of many words there. Good job, Paul. October 12th gets a little tough at LSU. I mean, this is an interesting game because it just seems to me you have two offenses here that aren't that good. Maybe at this time of the year they're both better. But, Trey, at LSU it's not easy no matter what. I don't see Florida going on the road here and beating LSU. Mettenberger is going to do enough to keep these guys in it, and I think the home crowd, I mean, it's probably going to be a 3:30 Eastern kickoff. It's going to be tough to win there.
Yeah, I mean, I think LSU and Les Miles have a lot of revenge on their mind after losing, you know, 14-6 last year in Gainesville. So I think LSU gets their revenge in Baton Rouge, and they're going to win a close defensive game, and they're going to take their revenge out on Florida and give them their first L.
All right, Paul, do you think Florida's going to take care of business here?
Do we know what the suspension is for LSU's running back, Jeremy Hill?
No, we don't.
He's probably out for the year.
For 3 games. I don't know. Is there any way y'all think he'll be out for this game? I wasn't able to find anything. That's all I'm asking.
No, I think it's possible, Tarvin. Yeah, I think it is. I think he could be done for the year, possibly.
I think he should be done for the year, and I think Les Miles is not going to put up with that on his team. Paul, I don't think he's going to be there, so you can predict
it
acting like he's not
there. If Jeremy Hill does not play, I'm going to go with my boys. I think Jeremy Hill is a big pivotal moment for LSU in their season. LSU's returning 5 on defense. They lost a lot to the NFL draft. Florida's strength for their defense this year is going to be their secondary. You know, I read a few places that they could have the best secondary in the SEC. You know, so that could lock down Mettenberger. And without their Jeremy Hill, their running back, if he was there, I would pick LSU to win. That's how important he is to me.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm going to go with Florida now because it's looking like
he won't play.
Yeah, I picked it with him being suspended. Actually, I don't think he's coming back. So Trey and I are picking LSU. You're picking Florida. Good pick. Next week, October 19th, guys, at Missouri. I still don't think Missouri, Trey, has what it takes yet. I think they still have to recruit a few more years and build some depth. I like Florida pretty good in this game.
Yeah, I mean, Missouri, and they're the SEC team that I don't know that they're going anywhere but down still. I don't see them improving off 5-7 last year, and I don't see them getting Florida or any closer than they got last year to Florida, which was a 14-7 game. I think Florida gets them by more than that this year.
All right, Paul, you agree?
I agree.
All right, well, we get a bye week here. October was okay, but now it gets a little tougher, guys. I mean, 3 very tough games in November, and it starts November 2nd. The cocktail party, Trey, against Georgia. Who do you like?
Yeah, I think I'm going to stick with what I picked last week. I'm going to pick Georgia losing this game.
I picked Georgia winning this game, I believe, last week. I think Georgia struggles early, but they're going to find a way at this time of season. Paul, tell us who you like.
Well, I believe Mr. Murray is still the quarterback, so I think our secondary will have a pretty good time that day, 2 or 3 maybe interceptions. To me, this game's always a toss-up, but I just feel like I need to go with Florida in this game too, along with Trey. I mean, I think we're going to hit a hot streak in the middle of the schedule.
It's going to be fun. I love watching that game. It's always one of those games you have to watch no matter what team you pull for. So it's going to be fun. And the next week, a team, you know, Florida sometimes struggles with, Trey, it just seems like Vanderbilt. And November 9th, coming into the Swamp, any chance Vanderbilt pulls this upset?
No, I don't think so. And just to catch up with our chat room folks, you know, Miklos has got Florida 5-3 after the UGA. And Cuervo in the chat room picks UGA as well in that cocktail party game. So interesting picks from our chat room. So a lot of people don't know what to expect of Florida, it looks like, at least from our chat room. But no, I don't think Vanderbilt in the Swamp is going to pull out a victory.
Me neither. Paul?
Going along with you guys. Victory.
Right. Well, this is a huge game right here. I have them losing 3 games up to this point, but what do I know, right? At South Carolina, November 16th, is going to have some implications for both teams, guys. This is a huge game, Trey. Steve Spurrier is going to be ready. That's his old alma mater. Anyway, South Carolina or Florida goes on the road and upsets South Carolina.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest. This game is starting to make me scratch my head, especially with the news that came out today about J.D. Clowney with his possible ties to Jay-Z and whether he is going to be eligible. I mean, holy cow, does that change the entire nature of the SEC East if Clowney doesn't play? I'm going to assume he plays, and by that, it is a large assumption, but I'm going to assume that he plays this year and that South Carolina holds serve at home this year and makes up for that blasting that Florida gave them last year, 44-11, that they get revenge on Florida and they get handed their second loss of the year.
Well, Paul, I have to say with Trey, if Clowney plays, I'm going to pick South Carolina in this game. I think it's going to be that CBS game. It's going to be a rocking crowd. They're going to be ready. Give us your thoughts on this game.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you guys. I think we go on the road and take a loss. Hot streak ended.
All right, well, you better get hot.
Loud.
Guess who comes to town? Georgia Southern, Trey. Georgia Southern coming to the Swamp November 23rd.
Well, they're going to lose, Tarvin.
All right, I think so, too. Paul, I'm not even going to ask you. That's a dumb question. So this is what I want right here. We have Florida State fan Trey right here. We have a Gator fan, Paul.
Oh,
and here they come. Florida State's coming to the Swamp, Trey. To the Swamp. Tell us what you think.
Well, hey, I want Miklos to call in and give me a little support. Jonathan, can you call in?
So two against one?
That's what I want, Paul.
I'll even it up for you, Paul.
Okay.
I think we have Jonathan on the phone too, so I need the numbers, Tarvin.
I don't have him yet. There he is. All right, Jonathan's in queue. We're going to start with Trey. Trey, give us your prediction on this one. Tell us why.
Well, I like a good senator, Tarvin. I'm gonna give some of my time to Jonathan. So tell me what's up, Jonathan.
I have UF at 7-4 riding into this one. I just don't know how UF's going to do on the road this year. Now this game right here is going to be a bloodbath. This is going to be physical. This is going to be ugly. We're talking about some of the top high school defensive recruits in the nation the past couple of years. I'm going to tell you right now, Dante Fowler Jr. is going to be lucky if he escapes without a broken appendage. Because a lot of people in Tallahassee do not like that young man.
Dante Fowler Jr.
Yeah. Y'all got lucky we had Mario Edwards Jr. and Chris Cashman already locked up.
I take anything I can get. You know that.
So, I mean, we'll always be happy to give you the scraps. I mean, I'm pretty sure y'all enjoy it.
I mean, I'm honest with you, with this game, I'm going to give the edge to Florida simply because it's in the Swamp. If it was in Tallahassee, I would lean toward FSU. But I really think it's going to come down to Driscoll versus Winston. Who's improved the most over the last 11 games?
I agree. I'm terrified. I am, in all honesty, I am scared of this game. This game and the Clemson game just downright make me shake. And I don't know how Winston's going to be. But don't sleep on our running backs. We still got James Wilder Jr., still got Devonta Freeman, still have Mario Pender. I mean, those three guys. Wilder, do not be surprised if Wilder runs for over 100 yards that game. I got to be the homer. And I see where I got revenge in my eyes. I'm taking Florida State, but by less than a touchdown.
Like I said, I went with the home field advantage. That was about it.
All right, Trey. It's 1-1 right now.
Yeah, I mean, here's what I'm looking at. You know, Jimbo Fisher has done very well against Florida. I think last year was an outlier. You know, you had a very talented, older team that really got caught off guard in that game and really got outplayed and outcoached. I think this year is going to be different. I'm believing the hype that is Jameis Winston. Florida State,
all
the
right.
Chop, comes to the Swamp, and they take him down.
All right, well,
here we go.
I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised.
You know, look, Muschamp knows how important this game is just for recruiting. He just lost to Miami early in the season. He's not going to lose to both in-state rivals like this, guys. He understands that winning this game helps him in recruiting, and that's where Muschamp is going to do a great job and continue to own the state of Florida. I like the Gators, the last game of the year, SEC versus ACC in this one. I like Florida going 8-4, making a good bowl game, winning it, winning nine games. And you know, some people will say that's a terrible season right now, the expectations. But I think nine wins, Muschamp will take it. And then the next year is when Florida is going to be making a run at the national championship. So Paul and I agree. We're two. Y'all are two. So what's the tiebreaker here, guys?
Tiebreaker comes on November 30th.
Tiebreaker is within the swamp.
I mean, it's 2-2. We're locked here, so I'm gonna. I'm just gonna look
at
the chat.
We need to bring Cuervo on. He can be the tiebreaker.
Jason
Cuervo,
picks Florida.
Cuervo
Jason
or Jason?
Florida. There we go. There's the tiebreaker right there. 3-2 in favor of the Gators, guys. But man, that's gonna be a crazy game. Football is something, guys. You can't just predict preseason. We have fun doing this, but we don't know what's gonna happen. Driscoll could come out and be the you know, the first round pick in the NFL draft if he plays so well. I think Florida is capable of winning 11 games this year. You just never know. But I think 8 wins, Trey, is what I'm looking at regular season, 9 with a bowl.
Yeah, I got about 9 wins and possibly getting to 10 in the bowl game.
Well, since we have Trey, is Mick Lowe still on?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, since I do, I just want to say real quick, and I want everyone to just focus on this name. I know y'all remember him from the Florida State game, but watch out for Matt Jones. He's our running back. He had a little breakout performance late against Florida State, kind of sealed it away. They're saying he's going to be a big dog this year, so watch out for that name.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I mean, y'all have a great stable of running backs. I just want to bring this up because nobody's really mentioned it. Y'all realize this is the first time since, gosh, the last time Florida kicked the smack out of Miami, that we're playing for a true state championship this year between the three big boys.
Yeah.
I mean, it would
That's
be great.
That's our fault, of course.
Well, it'd be great if Florida would stop being pansies and schedule Miami every year so we could have this every season, because this is how recruiting is truly, this is where the true recruiting battles come out, because state championship bragging rights, that says a lot.
I know people call me a bandwagoner for saying this, Brian and Trey and Nicholas, but, you know, Florida, man, we're in the SEC, and I know people say that's an excuse, but for having Florida, I don't know if it would be fair for us to have Miami and Florida State on the schedule and then play South Carolina, Georgia, Kentucky's up and coming, and then have to rotate, play LSU every year, and then have to rotate with another West team. You got to be kidding. That would just be nuts, in my opinion.
Well, if y'all weren't blocking us from joining the SEC nowadays, we'd be able to share that schedule with you. But y'all don't want us in the SEC, even though the SEC's come calling for us and Clemson.
Are you serious? Are you serious, Jonathan? Bobby Bowden took off running. He almost retired because they asked him to come to the SEC.
That's not true.
That's not true, Brian. Bobby wanted to come to the SEC. Our athletic director was like, we're a basketball
school. Was it, Brian, academics?
Yeah, that worked out.
It was academics, I think. We don't want to join because of academics.
No, it was basketball. Our athletic director wanted to join a basketball conference so that
we could
have
two
sports.
There you go.
All right, guys, let's one talk at a time. I can't keep up with everybody. Who's talking now? Jonathan, go ahead.
We should have never joined the ACC to begin with. We should have joined the SEC from the get-go. That was the premier conference of football. We were a football school. We were just beginning our, you know, 14 straight top fives, which nobody else has been able to touch. And it would have been great to see, you know, rivalries develop between Florida State and Alabama, Florida State and Georgia, since they already compete for recruits anyways. I mean, let's face it, we're not fighting North Carolina and North Carolina State for recruits. We should have never, ever, ever joined the ACC. I blame our athletic director from the early 90s on that move, because that move was all on him.
Well, guys, I want to thank y'all both for coming on real quick. And, Paul, good to hear your voice. Jonathan, thanks for weighing in with us. And just want to say bye to y'all and thanks for coming on. Trey, that was pretty fun, man, picking that Gator schedule, too. That was intense.
Yeah. You know, I can honestly say, I mean, I agree with some of the guys in the chat room. I hope they go 8-4, man. It is a good day in Tallahassee, if we can win more games than the Gators can.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the schedule, Florida State should win more than Florida this year. I mean, just even if they lose that game, they have a game against Clemson. That's about it. That's about it.
Yeah,
right?
I mean,
Florida State plays less than Florida. I mean, at the worst, 10-2. So, but I don't think that helps recruit. I think that game, regardless of, as long as Florida's just not just killing it right then, as long as they're like 7 or 8 wins and they beat Florida State, that's going to put them ahead in recruiting. Miami's a team you got to watch for. See this probation to see what happens. I think Golden's doing a good job there. But Trey, I honestly think as long as Muschamp's in that state, he's going to own recruiting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Muschamp is winning now. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and Cuervo said he wished Florida would go 0-11 every year. I think he mean 0-12. They added a game on us, Cuervo. They added a game. But I wanted to ask real quick before we leave here, Trey, about Clowney. You know, it just seems odd to me. I didn't think he wanted to play this year anyway because I think he realizes he could get hurt. And is there any – and he's talking trash to all these players. Any chance he's trying to maybe get ineligible? I don't know how much of this is true. I really haven't studied it with Jay-Z. But tell us, do you think it would disappoint him if he got suspended?
Well, I don't think it's coming. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I brought it up because, it's being looked into. I don't think it will go – it'll go anywhere. But I think what Clowney is, he definitely has some motivation issues this year, which is going to be very interesting to see, because I think a lot of people are predicting him to be a top 5 pick automatically. And, you know, he should probably take some lessons from the past of players. And the one that comes to mind is Jake Locker. And Jake Locker, those of you who remember the Washington quarterback, I mean, he ended up being in the first round. But he was, you know, going into the year before that, there's a lock for the number 1 overall pick. Everybody could not see anybody else going into the next season as a number 1 overall pick. It was Jake Locker, the next franchise quarterback. He's the most amazing thing ever. And he went out and laid an egg the next year and dropped all the way down to the very end of the draft for the Tennessee Titans. So, I mean, Clowney is a great, great player right now. But he's going to watch out, Tarvin, because your draft stock can lose. You can lose points real quickly.
Yep. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. Well, Trey, give me the 2 teams you want to talk about. I don't want to predict Auburn yet until I see the quarterback situation. But give us 2 teams that you would like to preview Sunday to get us an exciting show, get some buzz created here.
Let's see. Well, for Sunday, Tarvin, let's break down our first NFL for sure. Let's do what we were going to do a long time ago, and let's do the NFC. Was it South?
South.
So let's start off with that. And then let's do Arkansas and Ohio State.
Arkansas, huh? Bill in his first year in the SEC. Yeah, I'll do that. Ohio State, that ought to get some buzz going with a bunch of fans that think they're going to win a championship every year. So that'll be fun. We're going to get Ohio State and Arkansas. Wow, Trey, that's a surpriser, Arkansas there. We'll see how good they're going to be his first year in the SEC. I think these coaches are going to be out to prove a point to him, and I know Gus Malzahn will. Some of these spread teams are going to try to run him off the field. So great show tonight. Thanks, everybody, for calling in. Jason Minson called in, Paul Ewing, Jonathan Miklos, we appreciate it. Join us Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. We're going to try to go 2 hours. The closer we get to football, Trey, the longer these shows are going to go.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Once we get into football, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but thanks, everybody, for joining us Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern. Hey, go to blocktalkradio.com/Tarvino. Follow us there. We also have our website up. It's almost finished, but you can still go there. WayInSportsTalk.com. You can go put your email address in to get some updates. It's just fun. You can chat with us there as well. So go look at us at Twitter or on Twitter at WayInSports. Trey does a good job with that. But guys, until Sunday night, and Cuervo has On Campus with Cuervo Friday night. That's on the Couch Potato Show Network. So Cuervo does a great job breaking down some college football. So we'll make sure we join that. Thanks for bringing that up, Cuervo. Trey, have a great week, and thanks again, everybody, coming out, and we'll see you next week.
Family reunions, school names, sports logos, custom designs. Actionwear Screen Printing will do all of that on whatever you want. Hats, shirts, shorts, pants, and much, much more. Embroidery, printing, decals, it doesn't matter. Just give us the idea, we'll make it happen. For more information, contact us on Facebook or call Tony Williams at 817-891-6819. Actionwear, where your design comes to life.